truly celebrating, probably on vacation. I know my daughter is playing basketball right now. She's got a couple games today. But it's a holiday weekend, and it's Freedom Weekend. So in honor of Freedom Weekend, title today is Freedom, Simply Freedom. Turn to your neighbor and say, Freedom, Freedom. Say it like you mean it, Freedom. This morning, I want to start with this definition, and I read it at the beginning, but as I speak the definition again, I want you to ask yourself, because it gives kind of two variations of the definition of freedom. The state of not being imprisoned, or enslaved. Freedom is the state in our mind, in our heart, and our feelings of not being imprisoned or enslaved physically, spiritually, mentally, or it is the power or the right to act, to speak, to think without hindrance or restraint. And I want to ask yourself this morning, which one to you do you think your life that you've lived up to this point has meant more to you in that word freedom? To not be imprisoned or enslaved physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Or do you enjoy the freedom and the power because you have the right to act or speak, to think without hindrance or restraint? What definition of freedom is more important to you this morning? Freedom, as we know, is never, ever, ever free. Everything comes at a cost. Anywhere we go and anything that we do, if anybody says, I have something free for you, they are lying. Ouch. Slap them and say, nothing in life is free. Nothing in life is free. We are in our theme, Made for More, and today is our last Sunday that we're in this theme, Made for More, because we're going to jump into a new theme next week. High five your name and say, woo, a new theme, can't wait. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. A new theme next week. It's actually kind of tied into our topic today. We are made for more. We are made for more. We are made for more. And no matter how many times we say that, do you truly believe this morning you are made for more? When I had the opportunity to be a missionary and I was at a class, you start in class in Hawaii, because that's where you choose to rough it for Jesus in Hawaii in the classroom. There's a person who was in our room. There was actually 40 guys were all in the same room. It smelled so good. Anyway, one of the guys who I became friends with, his name is Andy, and I asked him one time, what is life to you? And he said, well, I was born, I grew up, go to school, go to college, maybe I'll get married, have some kids, and then I die. I said, honestly, that's it? Most people sometimes, many times, live their life very short-sighted. To think I'm made for more, some of us in here may think I'm already living, I'm already alive, I've already done the more, I've already been there, I've already done this, I've already done that. I have lived more. But I want you to stop and ask yourself, am I honestly living the more that God wants me to live? Not in your head, not in my head, not in our head. Am I living the more that God wants me, that God created me, that God gave his life for me? The directions, the instructions in the Word of God this morning, am I living all the more that he has for me? With that, we're going to start in Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And it says, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land, destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, the goats, the cattle, the donkeys. The enemy hordes coming in with their livestock and tents. They were as thick as locusts. Jesus. They arrived on droves of camels too, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Then they cried out to the Lord for help. And when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and I gave you their land." He's reminding them, verse 10, "I told you I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now live. You have not listened to me." I wonder if you've ever said that to somebody. You have not listening. You are not listening. And God is speaking to the Israelites, "But you have not listened to me." And the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Oprah Winfrey, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord, he is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have. Rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." Verse 15. "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon replied, "If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you," he answered. "I will stay here until you return." And so this morning, as we start to break down this text, it says that the Jewish people did evil in the Lord's sight. They did wrong. They started to bow down and want to worship other gods of their neighbors. They started to worship other gods and they started to worship other things. Many times, how many of us have ever gotten a debate? I don't know about you. Debating can be fun, arguing in a nice way. Debating over right and wrong. And for the Jewish community, and even for ourselves, how many times in life have we found ourselves, we like to do right, we know we should do right, but sometimes we do wrong. And how many times do we make excuses for why we do the wrong thing, for why we do bad things? How many of us try to justify in our head and justify to people over and over and over again, well, I did this just one time. I said this just one time. I shouldn't have said it, but one time. If I do it just one time, it's not bad. So many times the Jewish people got into trouble over and over and over and over again. One time, one person, one people, the wrong community, worshiping the wrong thing. And every single time that they found themselves doing the wrong thing, what happened? They got in trouble. None of us in here like to be in trouble. None of us in here, if you had parents who spanked, none of us in here, I don't think you enjoyed it, but none of us enjoyed to be spanked as little kids. We didn't like to be grounded. We didn't like to lose something because we made a bad choice. Galatians 6:7. "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." The Jewish community, God says they were removed from his hands so that their enemies could overrun them. The Jewish community, when they do right, when their lives are placed in the hands of God, God surrounds them, God protects them. But when they decide, "I'm going to choose sin, lust, pleasure, all these bad things over God," God releases his hands, he releases his grip, And in this story and in this text is exactly what happened. They did evil in the Lord's sight. Many of us, just like the Jewish community, it's all about perception. Life is about perception every single day. It is about perception. Do I view this as wrong? Do I view it as wrong? Do I know enough of God's word? Galatians 6:7, don't be misled. You will not mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. If you live to satisfy yourself in a sinful nature, you will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, you'll reap a harvest of blessing. You know, today there's so many things that weigh people down. Work issues and stress. How many of us have feel work issues and stress? How many of dealing with job dissatisfaction? I have a hard time saying that word this morning. How many of us feel dissatisfied at work, sometimes even at home? How many of us have internal struggles, self-doubt, hard time making decisions, past regrets that keep coming up and hitting us in the back of the head? Financial stress. The politics are stressful right now. The negative news over and over and over again. You know, due to a human desire for connection, acceptance, belonging, a fear of rejection, the desire for admiration, sometimes it's easier to conform than to simply stand out. God has made us for more, but there's so many things that we see, there's so many things that we feel that drive us every single day for less. Settling for life. But I'm human, so I'm just settling for life. I have needs, so I'm just settling for my needs. I have bills, so I can't do this. I have desires, God. I have dreams. And so I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. You know, 1 out of 3 people feel guilty. 1 out of 3 people live with some kind of guilt. 68% of humanity feels guilty. Matthew 24:4, don't let anyone mislead you. Many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. We live in such a crazy day, in such a crazy time. There are so many things that are trying to mislead good, godly people. You know, there's so many things happening in our world today. And if you listen, if you watch the news, there's so much hate. There's so much hate. There are bad things happening. Yes, people have been bombed. Yes, there have been riots. Yes, some people don't like the government. There is so much hate being produced. But let me ask you a question. Is hate from God? So then somebody else is trying to turn people to hate one another. Does fear come from God? No, but how many of us are fearful? If you listen to people, there's two things that are being stirred inside of people right now. Hate and fear. If you turn on the news, if you watch all these videos of all the things happening, God does not need his children to accept that hate. God does not need his children this morning to accept that fear. He needs us to stand in love. But at the end, it says many are going to come in his name. Many are going to act like they have the truth. There's many people who are going to be dressed up and they're going to have their best suits on. And they're going to have a great argument of why we should do certain things. Because there are many deceivers in the world. Even before Apostle Paul left, he said, listen, the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. He's already moving. The spirit that is Antichrist. What did Christ stand for? He was giving. He was loving. He was graceful. He was merciful. He was willing to give his life. Just like the spirit of the Antichrist moved in, he is still moving today. And we as Christians have to 24/7 remain guarded. Because you know what? There is so much junk that we hear every single day. There is junk everywhere. And it's causing some of God's children to become afraid. Fear is not God's tool. It's not his weapon, right? What is? Love. If we hear something and we don't hear, sense, and feel love, then maybe we need to turn it off. If we're watching stuff that makes us angry, I'm so angry right now, maybe we need to turn it off. Don't let anyone mislead you. The Jewish people constantly were misled by their neighbors, by their friends, by someone or something to do wrong. And you know who paid for it in the end? They did. They paid for it. Be careful. Whatever somebody promises you, be careful, because in the end you will pay. To live constantly robbed every single day for 7 years, all their food, all their drinks, robbed every single day. The Jewish community, because of their sin, because of their choices, God allowed them to be robbed. God allowed them to feel the pain of suffering. God allowed them to feel the pain of being without because of their bad choices. Constantly robbed. The thief's purpose is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus explained in one of the parables, Matthew 13:18, it says, listen to the explanation of this parable. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message in the kingdom, but they don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away that seed that was planted in their hearts. These people, the Jewish community, they were living in a time where everything they had was being taken from them. Many of us, we go to church, or maybe we listen to sermons during the week, but are we truly understanding the truth of God's word? We've been in a theme, Made for More, for over 4 weeks. And do you in your heart, mind, and soul feel and understand, yes, I am made for more. God has more for me than what I've been doing. God wants me to live more godly than I have been living. God needs me to make better choices than what I have been making. God needs me to be a bigger, brighter light than when I have been shining. God needs me to be the salt of the earth. And not just being like everybody else. Because of our human desire, we want to be connected. We want to be accepted. We want to belong. We don't want to be rejected. We want to be admired. And so for many, it's so easy to conform than to stand out. In living this kind of life, it is constantly robbing Christians of God's best. Constantly being robbed of God's best. Don't let the devil rip you off anymore. Don't let any man or woman rip you off anymore. Do not let anything rip you off from God's best for your life. The Jewish people did what all of us do when we get to a point when nothing else seems like it's working. God help me. Right? When the floor falls out below us, when there's no doctor, when there's no friends who have an answer, when there's no money, no place to borrow, to do what we do. God, help. God, help me. And I love what God did. It didn't say that God stood back and said, I'm just going to let him, you know, deal with this. It says God sent a prophet. God sent a man, and he gave them a message. What was that message that God gave to the prophet? He said, listen, you're being robbed. Your lives are being threatened every single day because I already delivered you from slavery, but you want to go back. I delivered you from being a slave. I delivered you from wrong choices, but yet you keep wanting to make them. I delivered you from this place. I delivered you from bad people. And I love how he ends what he says to the Jewish community. He says, are you listening? How many of us have a hard time listening? Sometimes we have a really easy time talking and talking and talking. And sometimes it's really hard to listen. But we can't hear the truth if we're not willing to listen. We can't hear the truth if we're too busy and distracted with life every single day. We want God's blessing. We want God's healing. We want God's direction. But are we listening? Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, a fool repeats his foolishness. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and you're going to become wise. Associate with fools and you get in trouble. Trouble chases sinners, while blessings reward the righteous. Are we listening this morning? James 1:19, understand, dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Understand, brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Understand this. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. So then he said, get rid of all the filth and evil in your life. Humbly accept the word of God, plant it in your heart, for it has the power to save your soul. Don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says, because otherwise you're only fooling yourself. God said to the Jewish community, are you listening? The angel then turns to Gideon, who's hiding underground because they're trying to save some grain. Instead of working above ground so that the Midianites can come and take their grain, they went underground so that they can hide their grain, so they could keep some food. The angel looks and he says to Gideon, hello, mighty hero. Look at you. You are a mighty warrior for God. This morning, God says we are his children. God says we are chosen. God says we are co-heirs with Christ. God says we are a new creation. God says we're made in his image. God says we're loved unconditionally. God says we're forgiven. God says we're righteous. We're salt. We're light. He even calls us all priests. As he called Gideon a mighty hero and a mighty warrior, he calls you the same this morning. There is a label. I don't want you to get your label yet. But labels. Many live by labels. God spoke a word to Gideon and called him a mighty hero when he felt like the biggest wimp on the planet Earth. Gideon, the thing that God said, you're forgiven, but how many of us feel forgiven when 68% of people feel guilty? God says you're loved, but how many people feel lonely? God says you're powerful, and I have a spirit of power, but how many feel like we're weak-minded Christians walking every single day? How is it that God constantly says who we are, but yet many times we cling to the wrong label? As God spoke to Midian, you are a mighty hero, a mighty man. Instantly, he started questioning and he says, well, if God is with us, how come we're in this trouble? If God is truly with us, why did this happen? I love the Bible, because picture, this is Judges, so this happened a long time ago. Turn to your neighbors, and this happened a long, long time ago. But how many humans, we still have the same exact response? Something bad happens. Why did God allow this to happen? Was it God's fault or their fault for the trouble they were in? It was their fault. They took themselves out of God's hands by committing sin, but then they're going to ask the question, well, if God's with us, why? Gideon says, listen, how can I do this? I'm weak. I'm the least. The view that he had of himself, the view that he had. You know, 85 to 90% of humanity has feelings different times in life. Uncertainty in our abilities, our worth, and our potential. 85 to 90%. at moments have feelings of uncertainty, abilities, worth, and potential. Exactly what Gideon was feeling right here. How can I? I'm weak. My clan, my people, we're a small people. We're from a small place in Hemet. We don't have much money. With that, I'm going to have you take out your label. And this morning, you were asked on one of your labels to put your name on one. So I want you to look at that. And then you have two blank labels this morning. What I want you to do, and I want you to be super honest, and so if you got to cover it up, I want you on one of these labels to write one word that someone has said to you and you've never forgotten. And again, if you don't want anyone else to see because you're embarrassed, one word. Could have been a parent, could have been a friend, could have been a teacher, could have been a spouse, could have been a child. And if you don't want anybody to know, just kind of hover over your label with your pen so that nobody's looking. And if anybody looks like they're looking, just elbow them. Get away from me. This is private. One thing that someone has said to you and you have never forgotten it. One thing, one word. And then I want you to take the last label. And we're going to write on this one, what's the one thing that we think God is saying about who I am? We know that we're His children. We know that we're chosen. We know that we are heirs with Christ. We know that I'm a new creation. We know that I'm made in God's image. We know that God loves us unconditionally, that we're forgiven, that we're righteous, that we're salt, that we're light, that we're priests, that we're mighty, that we're powerful when we're in Him. What's one thing that God says, or maybe one thing that you think or feel that God feels towards you? I want you to write down that on your label. So this morning, as we look at our three labels, if all of us did our quick little homework assignment, we should have a name, the name that our parents, unless the doctor gave us the name and our parents said, yeah, that sounds good. Someone in life, somebody that we know, hopefully, each gave us a name. We have that name. It's how we call each other and how we're known today. We're known by our name. And then, unfortunately, how many of us still remember one thing, maybe from childhood, maybe from junior high? Those were lovely years. High school, maybe college. Maybe one thing that someone called you, and you should have that on your label. And then lastly, one thing that God says. And I want you to take all three, and I want you to look at them real quick. And then we ask ourselves honestly, which one do I live by? Do I live by who God and what God and who God says I am? Do I live by the physical name that my mom and dad gave me? That's just who I am. That's where I came from. So this is why I am the way that I am. This is the heritage. This is the culture. This is the race. This is the issues that have been passed down. So this is what I live by. Or this morning, if you've asked God into your heart, if you said the prayer, if you said, God, I'm forgive me. God, I'm choosing to follow after you. If you've picked up your cross and said, God, I'm going to choose to follow after you. The Bible says you become a brand new creation. So the words that people have called us, they should be gone. Even the name that our parents, even though it's lovely, it's a lovely name, it's not the name that we live by. That should be gone. The only name that should stand for who I am and who you are, it's who God says you are. It's who God says you are. This is who God made me to be. Gideon was a mighty hero. He was called a mighty warrior. He didn't see it. He didn't feel it in the moment, but that's who he was. And this morning, God has a word for you. You have to. We have to. Listen. This is what Made for More is. It's the label. It is the name of who God says. Not what anybody else. Not anything that I've done. Because let's be honest, sometimes labels, it's not just the names of what people have called us, but it's also our actions of the past that we still get labeled by. Actions of the past and things that have happened in the past. And sometimes we've done bad things, and sometimes people have done bad things to us. And so sometimes being a victim and living by a victim mentality, we're always waiting for the next person to hurt us. We're always waiting for that next person who's got that knife out, who's going to give us another scar, who's going to hurt us one more time. Label this morning. What label do we truly, honestly live by every single day? I'm made for more, and I have to live by the label and who he calls me. God knows every hair that is on my head, every hair that I've lost, every hair that's changing colors. He knows it all. God knows me. God has a plan for me. His best is better than I can for myself. But there's only one way to step into his best, and that's to grip to the label of who he says I am. Who are you? Are you just the person, the name in which your parents called you? And we all have lovely names, right? They're all lovely. They're wonderful. They're amazing names. But the physical term in which was given to us is not the name that we are to live by today. It's who God says you are. And no matter how many times we try to forget names people have called us, most people remember over and over and over again things that people have said, actions that we've done that we've hurt people, and actions they've done to hurt us. Over becoming what in our life? They become a label and they become a name. And then we stick it on our chest. Sometimes people wear these labels like we're proud of them. Some people put their name, all the sins that they've committed, and they put it on their back or they put it on their front like they're proud of the sinful actions that they've done. And then they wonder, just like the Israelites, man, if God's with me, why are all these bad things happening? Even though I got a little sin that I hide in the closet over here. Why? Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. 40 days, 40 nights, he fasted, and then he became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, the highest point of the temple. He said, "Man, if you're the Son of God, jump off. Let's make a show. We'll put a little stage and music, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up, their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." In verse 8, "Next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. 'I will give it to you,' he said, 'if you kneel down and worship me.' 'Get out of here, Satan,' Jesus told him, 'for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus." You know, there's people, 2 Peter says, they brag about themselves. else, empty, foolish boasting, with appeal to twisted sexual desires. They lure people back into sin who've barely escaped a life of deception. Listen, this is super powerful what Peter said. There are so many people who brag about with empty and foolish boasting, with appeal to twisted sexual desires, to lure people back into sin who just barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption, because you are a slave to whatever controls you. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where God's Spirit is, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 1 Timothy 2:6, He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. Galatians 3:22, the Scriptures declare, we're all prisoners of sin. We're all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom by believing in Jesus Christ. And lastly, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, which we all like the truth most of the time. I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. And a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. The way that we live our life determines if we're a son or a slave. The way the choices that we make, the words that we speak, the things that we do when nobody's watching, reflects, am I a son, a daughter, or a slave? Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever sins is a slave of sin. If the Son sets you free, you're truly free. And that doesn't mean that we take a look around and say, well, that person sins, that person sins, that person's a sinner. God is going to handle every single person on this planet. We don't need to worry or to judge other people's actions. I think most of us in here know we can have enough on our own to worry about the things that we've done. We do not need to point fingers. We don't need to look around and understand and listen. Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave of sin, and there's only one place you can go to get free, truly free. Galatians 5:1, and if Christ has set us free, make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery. Jesus Christ alone holds freedom. He gives, He serves, He sacrifices. He gave Himself as an offering for our sins. And every single person on this planet, our hearts are longing and searching for the freedom that only Jesus can give. This morning, I started communion with a text of Jesus and the devil having a conversation. There's three things they had a conversation about. First one was what? Hunger. Hunger. Jesus came to break the power of hunger over our life. Yes, physical hunger can be bad at times. Yes, a spiritual hunger in the wrong place can be bad at times. Mental, emotion, hunger that all of us have, because we all want to be connected. We all want to belong. We all want acceptance. We all want to be admired. You, I, we have to watch where our hunger leads us. Jesus came to break the power of our hunger, because our hunger in the wrong place. Just like, I love French fries. I do. But if all I ate every single day is French fries, even though it sounds like a beautiful, blissful time, it's bad for my body. And I would kill myself eating junk all the time. But many of us, spiritually, that's what we do with choices. Instead of reaching for truth, I'm going to grab hate. Instead of reaching for love, I'm going to grab lust. Instead of reaching for forgiveness, I'm going to hate my brother. Why? We know Jesus came to break the power of things that drive us. And when He didn't eat for 40 days, what did He say to the devil? I have the power to turn this rock into whatever I want. But I don't live by food. I live by God. I don't need to be supercharged and controlled by the things that I see. I live for God. And secondly, the devil came to him and he said, listen. So number one, Jesus came to break the power of our hunger. Number two, the devil said, listen, hey, once you climb up to the temple, you jump off, God will protect you. If someone goes and climbs on top of the temple and jumps off and angels miraculously catch him, the making of a show to be seen. Jesus didn't come. It says in his life, there was nothing special in his appearance. This is the Savior of the world. But how many of us, if we're going to go out and do something, we got to make a show of it. How many of us, we need to be seen, our human desire to be seen. It is one of the largest desires in human nature, to be seen, to be admired. Jesus said, listen, I'm not here. My life is not to test God. I didn't come to live for myself. I came to live for him. Jesus came to break the power of hunger. Jesus came to break the power of our human desires, because it's our human desires that lead us into trouble every single time. And lastly, they're having a conversation and he says to Jesus, man, all the kingdoms of the world, I'll give you, Jesus, if you just bow down and worship me. And partly this is about worship, but the other part of it was he just wanted to stop Jesus from dying on the cross. If God created us, for a minute, let's think about this, to be Jesus. Woo, Jesus! I'm perfect. I can walk on water. We'll get past that. But if our main purpose was to live and to die on a cross, if our main purpose was to know I got to get whipped 39 times, and most people died from that because the Romans, when they tortured people, they weren't very nice. So I get whipped 39 times. I get beat up. I get mocked. I get made fun of. I get a crown of thorns stuck on my head. I have to carry a cross, and then I collapse because I can't do it because I'm so weak and tired. Somebody has to help carry the cross. I get nailed, crucified. The devil comes to Jesus saying, hey, look at everything here. I'll give it to you. Just don't go to the cross. The devil, every single day, he's telling you, take this easy way out. Take the comfortable route. You don't want to walk that road. It's narrow. There's not too many Christians being like that today. Just walk over here and act like this. Every single day, what is the devil doing? He is testing and trying to feed what we hunger for, what we live for, and always take the easy way out. Jesus said, no, my life, God made me to die on a cross and suffer as an offering. I'm not going to give in. Jesus would not bend and he would not break for me, and he did not bend and he did not break for you. He didn't cave in when he was tempted. He didn't give in to temptation. He didn't give in to the devil to give us strength, to give us motivation. Yes, I can do this. Yes, I can get through. Yes, I can be stronger. Yes, I am a conqueror. Yes, I am powerful. Yes, I am who God made me to be. And with that, if you can take up your bread this morning, Matthew 26:26, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it, and then he broke it into the pieces and he gave it to the disciples, saying, take this, eat it, for this is my body. And so as you get ready, as we get ready to take communion this morning, it's to honor, to remember Jesus Christ. And as we do this morning on July 4th weekend, freedom today, God gave his body so we can be free. And as you take the bread this morning, and before you do, I just want you to think of one thing. What's the one thing right now that I need freedom from? What's the one thing? A person, a thing, a feeling, money, bills, stress, guilt, fear, insecurity, self-doubt. What's the one thing? Jesus gave his life to break in me. So this morning, as we start to wrap up on Freedom Sunday, I'm going to have you take out your balloon. Jesus, he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. If you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. What benefit do you have if you gain the whole world, but you yourself lost, destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here will not die before they see the kingdom of God. Matthew 22:36. Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Secondly, equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And so this morning, before we get to the meaning of these two verses, I want you to look at your balloon. You're supposed to put your initials on there. We have a balloon this morning, and we wrap up our service this morning with our balloon and with our initials for this reason. There was a professor recently who was holding a class, and he was teaching the meaning and the pursuit of happiness. So we had all the students in the class write their names on the balloon, filled it up with helium, real, the good stuff. Not that any of us have tried that before, but we won't go there. The good stuff. So they filled up the balloons. Walks them out of class. They get out of class, and he says, all right, let's take the balloons. We're going to scatter them. So for 5 minutes, they're taking the balloons. They're kicking them. They're pushing them. They're getting the balloons scattered all over the place. I says, stop. Now, I want every one of you to go find your balloon. And he gave them a timer. Nobody in 5 minutes found their balloon. And he stopped them after 5 minutes. He says, now, I just want you to go find one name and go give it to that person. You know how long it took him to do that? 1 second. 1 second to find the name of somebody else and easily go give it to that person. But when they were chasing and trying to find their own name, they could not find it. Jesus, I think this maybe we'll ring home a little bit more. He said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, your own pursuit. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what benefit do you gain if you try to gain the whole world? Because you will lose and be destroyed. Your balloon this morning represents all of us in here. One happiness, peace, joy, success, money, but on our own way, it will never satisfy us. It will never. If anything, this is the way the book is written. This is the way the story is laid out. This is how God put the plan into motion. And if we're honest, we all agree it is true. I've seen it. If I do it my own way, eventually I fail. If I do it on my own, eventually it all comes crumbling down. When I pursue my name and what I think makes me happy, I'm going to lose. But if I just go after the correct name, oh man, if I just go after the name in which he's given me, oh man, if I stand on the label in which God made me, man, if I stand on the person who he's made me to be, simply stating two things that God said are the most important, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, meaning to love him with everything that we have. And secondly, to love your neighbor as yourself. This is our label. Which one are you going to live by? And that will determine how free you will be. The balloon, it's got your name on it. But do you live for yourself or do you live for him? Do you live for yourself or do you live for your friends? Do you live for yourself or do you live for God? That determines happiness. You can chase happiness in everything the world has to offer. But like a balloon, how many of us know at some point it loses its air? Many of us this morning, we're living out without air. And it's only God who puts breath into our lungs this morning. Today is Freedom Sunday. The title is Freedom. Our theme, Made for More. God made you for more. Be the more he made you to be. God made you for more. Stop settling for less. God made you for more. Stop living for yourself and live for the King of Kings. Because he, Jesus said, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Let him free you this morning. Let's pray.